But he sees it through you as God's church, as God's people. So really remember that. You know, like every day, I mean, every day is a hard thing. But whenever you see Steve and Amy, whenever you see Travis, take some time and pray for them. Do what you can do to help them and support them to raise a child for God. I've seen them with Wesley and Alexis, and they're doing a great job as parents. But let's just never, ever forget that this day we committed to help. This day we committed to carry that out and to pray that God would help them. So God wants to have a relationship with us. I really believe this so strongly that sometimes we forget that church isn't just about, our relationship with God isn't just about going to church on Sunday. It's not just about, you know, going through a midweek service or, you know, whatever your Christian rituals are. It's not about that. It's about a personal relationship with God. And God wants a personal relationship with you. God's not a force. God's not just a force that's out there like on Star Wars. God is a person who wants to have a relationship with you. And we need to understand that. If we're really going to live and walk before God and really going to have a relationship, we have to understand he's not just a force. He is a person. And he wants a personal relationship with you. So we just have a couple of announcements to make, and then I'm going to go on and preach. This week, tonight, for our young adults, we're meeting at Nick's house again at 6:30. Nick's making all kinds of food for us. No, I'm joking. So anyway, we're meeting there. On the 18th, or 17th and 18th, we're having our Christmas play. You probably got some things about it in the bulletin. 17th and 18th, I think it's 7 o'clock at night. It's free play. Come on out. Enjoy it if you're a visitor here today. Make sure you come on out. It'll be great. Our Christmas service or our Christmas Eve service, we don't do on Christmas Eve. We do it on the night before Christmas Eve. So it was the night before Christmas, where we get together and we just enjoy some time together. We're going to have some Christmas music, and we're going to have some people share what God's doing in their life, and we're going to have some food and some coffee and stuff that night. It'll only be about an hour service, so come on out, enjoy that. And then we'll be meeting here Christmas morning at 10 o'clock for a one-hour service. Just come on out, enjoy that. We're only going to be an hour, then we're going to send you home because I'm going to want to go home too and be with my family. So, you know, if you get a chance, be out for church. And then New Year's Day, we'll be here again. New Year's, we'll have our regular Sunday morning service, but we're going to pray for each person that God will bless them and that it'll be a great year. We'll just pray over each family. So that's sort of what's ahead in the schedule. Today, I just want to talk a little bit about kids and our relationship with God and how that all relates. One of my favorite subjects. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about us raising kids and us being an example for kids. And helping our kids to grow into a relationship with God. Kids are a huge blessing, right? The Bible says in Psalms 127, verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. But the old saying, no assembly required, doesn't really work with kids, right? When we get our kids and they come out, you know, of the womb and they're all wrinkly and red and like screaming, and like it's all, you know, a lot of times the mother will say really, really cute, and really they aren't that cute, but they're most women think they're cute, and most fathers think their babies are cute, but they're not that cute, but they come along, and we raise them, right? And we when they're little, we could put them in their car seat, or we could put them in their crib, and they're generally nice, and they're quiet, and they stay in one place, and that's all really good, but we realize that that's only the beginning, right? Having a child is only the very beginning of being a parent. There's so much more to it than just having a baby. There's a lot of work that goes into it. There's a lot of care that goes into it. There's a lot of planning and strategy. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people just let it happen. A lot of people just think, well, the child has, it's going to figure its way out. It's going to find its own way. But the Bible's really clear on how we are to raise children. They're a gift from the Lord. They're His blessing. But they do need care and training if they're going to be a blessing to anyone except their parents, right? And blessing to their own self. So I think the first thing we need to realize is if we're going to raise children that are good and godly children, we have to realize they're a stewardship from God. It's our stewardship. We don't have children. We don't have anything. If we really believe that when we gave our hearts to Jesus, we gave them everything, that means that we gave them everything. We gave God our own heart and our own life. We've given them our spouse. We've given them our children. We've given him everything that we have. Nothing that we have belongs to us. I remember when my sons were born, and we were walking, through the hospital. We were staying in the hospital. Christine was overnight, and I was carrying each of my sons, through the hospital. They're just little, like when they were born. Like I think Levi was like under 7 pounds, 6 pounds, 8 ounces, or 9 ounces. He's a little thing. Now he's almost 6 feet tall. But we carried him around and just prayed over him and just said, God, he's yours. He belongs to you. Please help me to raise him. Please help me to care for him, to really just bring him up to serve you and to love you. Worked with young people for a long, long time, and I've seen, kids that really serve God, and I've seen ones that haven't. And I've seen kids that, families that are really blessed because their kids do, and I've seen families that are really brokenhearted when their kids don't. It's been my heart's cry since my kids were born that they would serve the Lord. And I remember that day like it was yesterday for each of them. And there's not many days that go by that I don't actually think about that day, because we want with all our heart as a family, and I believe that's the heart of every Christian parent, is to see our kids serve God. Not just go to church, not just pack the pew on Sunday morning, but to actually serve him, to love him, to have relationship with him. And it was that day that we did it. I remember it every day. We did it, we came before the church. Just like Hannah brought her baby to the Lord, we brought our boys up here and we gave them to God. But we realized they're not ours. So with that realization that they belong to God, it ups the amount of responsibility I feel in it. It should up the amount of responsibility each one of us feel in raising our children, because they're not ours. They belong to God. We're called to take care of them and to help to raise them, but they're God's and they belong to him. I'm going to read a scripture out of Matthew 25, and it's a parable of the talents. And a lot of times we look at this, and a lot of times we think it's about money or it's about this or that, but it's about stewardship. And I just want to read it through Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. It says, "It's also like a man going off on an extended trip. He called his servants together and delegated responsibilities. To one he gave $5,000, to another $2,000, and to a third $1,000, depending on their abilities. And then he left. Right off, the first servant went to work and doubled his master's investment. The second did the same, but the man with the single thousand dug a hole, carefully buried his master's money. After a long absence, the master of those servants came back and settled up with them. The one given $5,000 showed him how he had doubled his investment. His master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant with the $2,000 showed how he had also doubled his master's investment, and his master commended him. Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner. The servant given $1,000 said, Master, I know you have a high standard and hate careless ways, that you demand the best and make no allowances for errors. I was afraid I might disappoint you, so I found a good hiding place and secured your money. Here it is, safe and sound, down to the last cent. The master was furious. That's a terrible way to live. It's criminal to live cautiously like that. If you knew I was after the best, why did you do less than the least? I think about stewardship, and a lot of times we read that in the old King James. It said, you're well done, good and faithful servant. A lot of times we look at faithfulness as just showing up. We look at faithfulness as, well, someone goes to church every Sunday, so they're faithful. We look at a faithful friend as one that's just always there, right? Always around. And that's not, though, how this parable describes faithfulness. It's not how this parable describes a good steward. This parable describes a good steward or faithfulness as someone who actually progresses what was given to them. I think the whole deal about being a steward is that we need to bring back to God something that's progressed from where it was given to us. So like as we raise our children, I love that because it said, like, why do you live cautiously? Because in a lot of ways, to live cautiously with our children would seem the easiest way to raise kids, to build a fence around them, to be really careful, to not allow the world to touch them, to not allow, you know, anything to go wrong in their life, but to just really be cautious, right? To sort of bury our kids in our own love and in our own world. Where other people, they just throw it out there and they don't really pay attention and they don't work and they don't develop. They just let their kids do what they want and where they want. But God has called us as His people to be good stewards. He's called us to really progress our kids, to help them progress, to really help them. I feel like one of my big jobs as a parent and your job as a parent is to help your kids find what God's called them to do. And then equip them and give them the tools that they need so that they can progress and follow after God's call for their life. But we need to be like aggressive at it. We need to be working at it. The problem and the thing about progress is whenever we're going to progress something, whenever we're going to bring progress to something, it puts us through a process. Right? I don't know if you've been a parent for a while. My kids are now 15 and 13. Well, it's been a development process for them, but it's been a development process for me. There's a lot of things that I had to learn, and there's a lot of things in a lot of ways that I had to grow as a person in order to be able to really help them to become what they're becoming and to really help them to know God and to love God with their whole heart and with their whole mind. So we need to go through the process. And I think like that's the thing a lot of times we don't want to do as parents. We don't want to go through the process because the process can be hard at times. As I said, when they're little and they're laying in their crib or in their car seat and they're sleeping, it's beautiful. Like they're just so beautiful. But then they grow up, right? And like for the days when people had VCRs, you know, and not CD player, DVD players, kids would shove their Hot Wheels into the VCR and they would like rip things apart and they'd be trying to stick their fingers in the plugs and not meaning to be, I mean, when my kids were little, I wore glasses like I do now. And I can't tell you how many pairs of glasses I got wrecked because my kids are just, you know, like there's a whole lot of work involved in raising kids. It's not an easy thing, but we need to keep working at it. And those are just like physical things. There's things about, you know, training our kids, right? There's things about teaching them about God's love for them. And it's not just through like sitting down and reading a Bible story, which is really cool and you should. But it's about every day living and loving God in front of them. It's about every day living passionately so that they could see our fervor and our fire. We need to be living life carefully. And like you might ask, you know, like, why are we talking about this today? He's a baby, you know, but babies is where it starts. Like, what we do today matters tomorrow. I remember one guy sitting in the room said to me, you know, when our kids were babies, said, you know what, if you discipline them enough when they can't remember, then once they can remember, you really don't have to do as much. You know, and I think a lot of the times we need to do the work and start the work of loving and disciplining and helping our kids grow and develop when they're really little, right? You can never diminish the importance of those sitting with your kid on your lap while they're drooling and they can't even read or really even understand and just holding them and reading to them and singing with them and, you know, rolling a ball across the room to them because you're building the relationship and you're allowing, you know, things to work in their lives. All the things that we do and we need to do in training and relationships start when they're little. They start when they're babies. I had one guy tell me, I was at a pastor's thing a few weeks ago, and this pastor was telling me that he had a great way of raising kids. He said, I gave them to my wife until they became teenagers, and then I took over. And I'm like, really? How'd that work for you? He said, it's horrible. It's awful, because it takes relationship, right? It takes, and if we're going to be good stewards of what God's given us, we have to have a relationship with our kids. We have to. We have to love them. And not just by saying, I love you, but by being there, by being engaged, by being for them and with them. Like, I think a lot of times, you know, I see families, and I know, like, the statistics. This was quite a few years ago, but the statistics of a father, they said an average father spent about 7 minutes a day in actual, you know, one-on-one contact with their kids. That's what the statistics said, 7 minutes a day. It's sad, because a lot of times parents are around the house. They say, well, I'm home, I'm there. If they need me, they can get me. But we need to engage our kids. We need to be with them. We need to, take time with them. We need to pray with them, right? Not just, you know, like when I grew up, we said a lot of form prayers. You know, like we said, like, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Forgive my sins for Jesus' sake, amen. Right? I can still remember, because we prayed that same form prayer every day. But there's so much more to a relationship than form. And we need to develop with them and help them to develop a prayer life and how to pray and how to bring your cares to God and how to you know, approach God and how to enjoy the relationship even with God. When the kids, right, again about stewardship, when the kids were little and even now, when the kids go to bed, Levi and Logan, we pray with them. We pray with them every night. And some nights, it's really, you know, it's a joy and a pleasure, because you feel energy, you feel like getting up and going and doing it, you know. But then there's other nights where you just feel tired and worn out, and you feel like you don't really feel like it. I just rather sit in my chair and watch, you know, NCIS LA or whatever, and just enjoy that, right? But there is this whole thing that we need to take the effort. We need to spend the time to actually be with them and to help them to progress. There's a lot of times where we need to get up and deal with our children, right? Our young men, young women, about things when we'd rather sit down and do nothing. We'd rather just sit on the couch and enjoy that time with ourselves and our TV set or whatever else it is, or a book or whatever your hobby or habit is, right? But there's an importance to getting up and helping them. One of the things that I find that's really important is like, you know, kids will try tons of things. No kid is perfect. Any person that thinks their kid's perfect is only lying to themselves, and they're only hurting their own kids. If someone comes to you to tell you your kid did this, you know, bad thing, and you look at them and say, well, there's no way my kid did that, without even just asking yourself the question quickly, would they, could they possibly, maybe do that, you're crazy, right? We need to be awake and alive. But there's a lot of things in our kids' lives where they mess up, and it's our fault. It's our fault because we haven't communicated properly. We've maybe been lax in how we deal with things. We've maybe allowed them, you know, to be, you know, in front of the TV too much, or just doing other things more than what they should be doing too much. And I think one of the great ways to help your kids and to be a good steward in those times is to actually sit with your kids and say, you know what? I did wrong. I'm really sorry. I should have been more strict, or I should have been more careful, or I should have, you know, done this better. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And from now on, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do it the right way. There's a lot about being humble and loving your kids and really just caring for them that will help in being a good steward. Being a good steward of your children is hard work. It's not for the lazy. But it's worth it. I've watched families that raise their kids well, that have stayed engaged in their kids' lives. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing to watch. I look at, like, even with Steve and Amy, you know, watching them, I saw them as children growing up in the church here, and they're good kids, and they love God. Now, they're not kids anymore. They're young men and women. And now they're raising a generation. And it's a blessing because a lot of that is just hard work and sticking with it and going after God and going after your kids. I think the second thing we need to remember if we're going to raise kids well is we need to capture the heart of our children. Like, there's just, you know, there's so much about raising kids that you know, like in the past, I think, like, a lot of people, church people especially, have taken biblically the whole ideas of children to obey your parents and this and that and, you know, being overly, crazily strict and not showing love and care and compassion that has hurt generations a lot of times. We need to have relationship with our children. We need to not be their friend. We need to be their parent. We need to be that soft place for them to fall, but also that place where they can find boundaries and they can find a place where they can say at times when they need to, I'm not allowed to do that. I can't go to that because my parents don't want me to. And you might look like the bad person. You might look like the person that isn't easy to get along with. But when you build and create, you know, that kind of an environment for kids, they feel safe. I think a lot of times, you know, in our life, we want to have a say-so in things without really being involved. You know, like I work in a lot of different areas of, you know, culture and stuff like that where I see, you know, people want to have influence. People want to have something to say. People want to have input. But a lot of times the people that want to have the greatest input are the people that don't want to really do the work. They don't want to carry it out. They don't want to make the effort. And I think a lot of times as parents, we want that. We want to have influence, but we don't want to do the work. And there's work involved with raising our children. There's time involved. There's care involved. From the minute they're born, we need to build relationship with them. Like, and it's not just for the mother. Men, it's not just for the mother to build a relationship. Like, I think, like, for me, when kids are little, like Travis here, I'm scared of little kids. It makes me nervous to hold them. Even my own kids, I was really scared to hold them. I was scared they'd break, you know, like I just really didn't feel comfortable. I'm one who loves them once they turn into teenagers. I think they're great. When everybody else starts getting scared of their kids, I start feeling comfortable. And when everybody else was comfortable, I was scared. But like a lot of times as fathers, we need to really show our love and our care and our commitment to our kids. We need to spend time with them. We need to take time. Like when your kids are little, even now, you know, I know there's a lot of little babies around here this morning, you know. But take time to sit with your kids on your lap and read to them. Take time to just even pray and sing with them, or take time to like just play on the floor with them and build a relationship with them. Show them you love them. Show them that you care about them. Show them that you're interested in their life. There is the authority that we have as parents. The Bible said children obey your parents. That's what it says. And we should teach our kids that. That's biblical. But there comes a time in a kid's life, and most of you find this when they turn 12 or 13, where all of a sudden, just because you say so doesn't mean so much anymore. And it shouldn't mean as much at that time. There is a time where a kid starts to become and grow toward being an adult. And they have to start to think for themselves, and they have to start to make decisions for themselves, and they have to start to grow. And we have to learn how, at that time, to speak to them heart to heart. I love this scripture in Philemon. It's Paul, the Apostle Paul is talking. And the Apostle Paul had a lot of clout. You know, he was like the leader of the church world, you know, especially the Gentile church in other parts, you know, of the world, like in Asia and stuff. He was the king of the church world. He had authority. He had power. He was able to speak to people. And there was this slave named Onesimus who had been a bit of a problem in this group he was in. And Paul had taken him under his wing and loved him and brought him around. And he was sending him back now to this group. And this is what he said to them. He said, God, it says in Philemon chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. So he's speaking about the fact that, yeah, I do have the ability and the power to say, do this. But instead of that, because of the relationship that we have with each other, I'm appealing to you. And there's going to come a day with your kids, if you haven't reached that yet, where there's going to come a day where you have to appeal to them on a basis of love and appeal to them as a brother or a sister in Christ to serve God and to be and to do what they're called to do. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that you're losing control of your family. What it means is that they're growing into being adults and they're learning to make decisions and they're learning to do things on their own, and they're going to ask the question, well, why? I remember, you know, like when we were kids, the standard answer in a lot of, you know, families and in ours was like, because I said so. Well, when I was 5, that was a good answer. When I was 10, it was a so-so answer. When I was 12 and 13, it wasn't a good answer anymore, because I needed to learn to build these kind of boundaries around myself so that I could learn to be an adult and I could learn to grow and to be the person that God called me to be. But it all starts when kids are young. It all starts as we are building relationships with them when they are kids. We need to capture their heart. Never again diminish the power of time spent. Like when you're sitting there on the floor and you're rolling a ball back and forth, I remember my son Logan, he's a bit of an athlete. He loves sports. And he still like bounce the ball all day long. He's got a beach ball. He bounces it in the basement and drives us all crazy with it. But he loves his ball and he loves bouncing it. And we used to just roll and he'd throw the ball back toward us and we'd roll it. And he would play that game for hours and hours and hours. I remember like that sometimes. It's like, I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. But, we kept doing it. And there was times, you know, like where we had the books and we were sitting with them with a book on our lap and them in front of us and they're drooling on the book and they're like, you know, like just like flipping the pages when we're not done reading them. And it was like, but while we were doing that, we're building relationship for this day so that now as we are raising them and helping them to grow, it's the relationship is already there. This is what we have to understand. God blessed in Genesis chapter 1:28, it says, and God blessed them, man and woman, and said, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowls of the earth and over all the animals that move upon the earth. God gave mankind dominion over everything on the earth, except God never gave mankind dominion over mankind. He never gave us dominion over each other. He wanted it to be a love relationship between us. He wanted us to love each other and to work together. And we need to realize, as much as the Bible says obey, children obey your parents, it says fathers love your children. It says fathers don't provoke your children to wrath. Right? It says all these other things too, and we need to capture, I believe, their heart. In Proverbs 23, verse 24 to 26, the Bible said, a righteous person's father will certainly rejoice. Someone who has a wise son will enjoy him. May your father and your mother be glad. May she who gave birth to you rejoice. My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes find happiness in my ways. I think like that's one of the things. Let your eyes find happiness in my ways. Like, live life before your kids. Live it good. Live it well. Live passionately for God. I think as a child or as a toddler, we command them. And we tell them what to do. It's really important. We have to command them. We have to tell them. We have to teach them. But then there comes this point of transition where they have to learn to do it on their own. And when we get to that point, we better have a relationship. Men, don't leave it to your wives until they're 13 and then take over, because that will not work. Don't pretend you're your kid's friend until they're 13 and then try and tell them what to do. You need to build a relationship, a proper relationship where you're the parent, they're the child, where you love them and you care for them and you put boundaries around them and you're protecting them so that they could grow and so that they could be safe. And that, so that not just safe in a cautious way, but so that they could grow up to really take some chances and really be brave and confident in who they are. Because they feel confident in your love. They feel like that you're going to be behind them no matter what. Like, I think one of the greatest problems we have as parents is when our kids want to tell us something that they're going through, and then we freak out. You know, like, kids go through stuff, and we freak out. And when we freak out, they say, I'm not telling them anything anymore. You know what? You got to live life in faith, and you got to go with a basis of the relationship you built with them. We have to evaluate how we do as parents from time to time. We need to see how our kids are progressing along the course. We need to spend time. If we don't have a solid relationship, we need to take some time and build a relationship. You know, like mothers, take your kids out. Spend time with them. Like, enjoy them. And I know a lot of times with the mothers, they've spent a lot of time. But fathers, enjoy your kids. Work with them. Spend time with them. Go for a drive. Take them out for breakfast. Do something. But build relationship with them. We need to adjust things in our life, such as our consistency, and we need to show the love of God to our children. The third thing I think we need to do if we're going to follow God and really believe God, I believe that God's desire throughout the generations has been to see generation after generation serve Him. We need to believe for and work toward building a multi-generational church, but even more than that, a multi-generational family that serves God. It's cool today. It's really exciting because in the church today, right, we have John Sr., right, and two of his kids, John and Martha, together. They had kids together, right? But John and Martha, and we have like Sylvia and John here, and their spouses, Dan and Arda. And now we have like Steve and Amy are here, and all their, you know, their two, three kids. And we see four generations of people that are serving. And on Steve's side, you know, we have Jim and Diane and Dave and Kim. And, like, we just see, like, generation after generation after generation. Four generations serving God. I think it's the problem that we've seen throughout the Bible. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we've seen that one generation will get really hot for God. One generation will really want to serve God. The next generation will know how, but forget why, right? They'll know how to go through the routine of serving God. They'll know how to, you know, go to church on Sunday. They'll know how to, say, give their tithe on Sunday. They'll know how to, like, you know, read the Bible and pray after a meal or before the kids go to bed. But they forget why they do it. And the third generation, many times, has no desire to serve God at all. Doesn't know why, doesn't care, doesn't want to know. But that's not God's plan. God's plan from the beginning is that one generation after another would serve Him, that one generation after another would love Him. This is what it says. If we're going to do that, this is what the Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 7. It says, "Listen, Israel, and by extension the church today, the Lord our God is the only true God. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." I think it's like so important for us to realize it's to love God, right? With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. That means having relationship. I keep saying the word relationship, and I'm sorry if that's, you know, sounding repetitive, but like, it's the whole deal about religion and just crossing the boxes is not what God ever planned for us. God planned for us to have a relationship. And when we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, that means we actually have a relationship with Him. You can't love, you know, an organization with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's not right. It's not a living thing. It's what it is. You know, but you can't love an idea. You can only love a person in that way. That's the only thing you can love. And God wants you to love Him in that way. He wants you to show it by time spent with Him. And it's not about crossing off the boxes. It's because when you spend time with God, He changes your life. I mean, we've had this great, you know, movement really in our church among our young people and young adults and even a lot of the adults where they're just reading their Bible every day and they're praying and God's doing these great things in their life because they're really turning to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. Well, that's what he calls us to do, right? To love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. It says, memorize his laws and tell them to your children over and over again. Right? It's repetitive. It's on purpose. It's purposeful. That's what we need to do. We need to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. You think people know things, but they don't know. Keep repeating. Keep telling. But don't tell it as a form. Tell it as, you know, like when something great happens in your life, or even when, you know, like when things are tough. Talk to your kids about it. Talk to them, right? Like whenever I bring home a new car, right? And if you know my cars, they're not new, generally. But we always say, well, look what God's given us. It's great, right? And sometimes when we're going through hard stuff, we're like, well, let's pray. Let's trust God. Let's believe God together. This is what God's Word says. Let's believe God to change it. Let's believe God to help us. And we talk about His Word, and we challenge each other to live His Word. We talk about it over and over and over again. Talk about them all the time. Whether you're at home, or whether you're walking along the road, or going to bed at night, or getting up in the morning. These are all great times to talk and to share about God. And the only way you'll talk and share about God that much is if you really are in love with Him, and you do love Him with all your heart and soul and mind. So the whole key to having generations serve God is for you to be passionate about God. It's for you to serve God with all your heart, with all your life, with all your mind. We have to live them out. We have to live life out purposefully, with great zeal and with great passion. Then we'll see what King David did when he wrote this scripture in Psalm 145, verse 3 to 6. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. His greatness is beyond understanding. What you have done, speaking about God, will be praised from one generation to the next. They will proclaim your mighty acts. They will speak of your glory and your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. People will speak of your mighty deeds, and I will proclaim your greatness. There's things, and I just want to just close with this little bit, but there's stories in our family that have been passed down, right? There's stories, like I remember one time when we were farming, and money was really tight, and things were really bad, and we didn't have money to pay the bills, and I remember driving in the truck with my dad going to this place, and we were going to visit somebody, and the bill was due that day, and like we prayed when we drove the truck. We were praying and asking God to help meet that need. And when we got home, my mom was waving a check. What had happened is my grandfather, you know, 2 years before, God had spoken to him, start put away $100 a month, because one day, you know, that he would have to give that. So he put away $100 a month. The need that we needed that day was $2,400. It was 24 months, and he felt God lead him and brought the check over and took care of the need. Well, that's God. That's God's goodness. And I've told the story to my kids, and now we have some of our own stories. I remember, like, when we first got married, Christine and I hurt my back at work, and I was off work for 4 months and didn't get a compensation check, didn't get any money in, and Christine was like working at that time at cleaning cars, and she was doing all right, but it wasn't enough to pay our bills. I wasn't getting any money in, and we had some money put away, and we'd sort of made it, you know, up to the point where, like, we didn't have any more. And I remember, like, I was praying one Sunday morning before church, and just saying, God, we don't have it. We can't pay our bills. And, like, if you're Dutch, that's a bad thing. Like, you know, you pay your bills. That's what we do. We pay them. And, like, I'm like, God, you need to help me. That morning, someone came up to me in church and said, God told me you need some money. Tell me how much. I'm going to write you a check. Well, he wrote me a check, and we paid our bills. It was God. He was good. You know, that same day, I just couldn't stand it anymore. Like, we had to get back to work. I had to get back to work. I couldn't live like this. So I just made up my mind. I'm going back to work. I went back to work. Like, I had a herniated disc in my back. They told me it would never, ever be better, that I'd live in pain my whole life. I went to work that day, and God healed my back. And I've never had pain from that ever again. Miracle of God. You know, like I told the whole church about 4 months ago, suffered with headaches in my sinuses for the last 25 years. And July the 14th, I had my last headache. I haven't had a headache since. And these are stories that we pass, that we speak from generation to generation, the goodness of God. We need to live out our life with God. We need to see where God's at work. We need to share that with each other and with our families. God will do great things. We just need to live for Him. No religion, not just crossing off the boxes, but actually having a relationship with Him. If we do that, we'll see generation after generation after generation serve God. I don't believe that every generation has to, you know, go wrong. I don't believe that generations have to, you know, like as they said when I was a kid, go sow your wild oats and then come back to God. I don't believe that. I believe that our kids can follow God all the days of their life. But I believe it takes care and it takes planning, it takes love and it takes attention. It takes a passion and a fervor for God. That's what I believe. And if you'll do that, I really believe that we could see God do great things in our children and in the generations to come. But it takes us being real serious about what God's called us to do. Let's pray. We can have the worship team come forward as we pray. Lord, we come and we just ask you today, and again, we just ask you, Lord, today to bless Lord Steve and Amy and the whole Edelman, Utima family, God, the whole, all their relatives, Lord, as they together, Lord, work at raising a great son and a great man for you. Lord, I pray that you'll, Lord, even speak to each of our hearts, Lord, even as for a lot of us this morning, it stirs up memories of when we dedicated our children. Lord, help us to reignite the passion and the fire that we have for raising kids that would serve God. Lord, we just ask you this morning, Lord, that you would just, Lord, just bless each young person and each child in this building, God. Lord, even as the kids are over in kids' church and in the mini church and nursery, God, we just pray your blessing upon them. Lord, just keep them and shelter them and help them. We ask this in your name and for your glory. Amen. We're going to sing a song here. And while they're singing, if you need prayer for anything this morning, if you're sick or if you just been going through a hard time and you need someone to pray with you, we're going to all just stand and sing. And if you want to come forward, we'll pray and agree with God, agree with you, and ask God to touch your body and heal you or to touch your situation and take care of that. So let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord.